Chapter 28. Homologous sides. A body will go just as far in the first second as the body will go plus the force of gravity, and that's equal to twice what the body will go. Specific gravity is the weight, to be compared weight of an equal volume of, or that is the weight of a body compared with the weight of an equal volume. The law of fluid pressure divides the different forms of organized bodies by the form of attraction, and the number increased will be the form. Inertia is that property of bodies by virtue of which it cannot change its own condition of rest or motion. In other words, it is the negative quality of passiveness either in recoverable latency or incipient latescence. If a laugh is fair here, not the struggling child, nor the unintelligent teacher, or rather the unintelligent boards, committees, and trustees are the proper target for it. All through this little book one detects the signs of a certain probable fact that a large part of the pupil's instruction consists in cramming him with obscure and wordy rules which he does not understand, and has no time to understand. It would be as useful to cram him with brickbats. They would at least stay. In a town in the interior of New York, a few years ago, a gentleman set forth a mathematical problem, and proposed to give a prize to every public school pupil who should furnish the correct solution of it. 22 of the brightest boys in the public schools entered the contest. The problem was not a very difficult one for pupils of their mathematical rank and standing, yet they all failed by a hair through one trifling mistake or another. Some searching questions were asked, when it turned out that these lads were as glib as parrots with the rules, but could not reason out a single rule, or explain the principle underlying it. Their memories had been stocked, but not their understandings. It was a case of brickbat culture, pure and simple. There are several curious oppositions in the little book, and we must make room for one. It is full of naivety, brutal truth, and unembarrassed directness, and is the funniest, genuine, boys' composition I think I have ever seen. On girls, girls are very stuck up and dignified in their manner and behavior. They think more of dress than anything, and like to play with dowels and rags. They cry if they see a cow in a far distance, and are afraid of guns. They stay at home all the time, and go to church on Sunday. They are always sick. They are all-ways puny and making fun of boys' hands, and they say how dirty. They can't play marbles. I pity them poor things. They make fun of boys, and then turn round and love them. I don't believe they ever killed a cat or anything. They look out every night, and say, oh, and the moon lovely. There is one thing I have not told, and that is they always know their lessons better'n boys. From Mr. Edward Channing's recent article in Science. The marked difference between the books now being produced by French, English, and American travelers, on the one hand, and German explorers, on the other, is too great to escape attention. That difference is due entirely to the fact that in school and university the German is taught, in the first place to see, and in the second place to understand what he does see. A simplified alphabet. This article, written during the autumn of 1899, was about the last writing done by Mark Twain on any impersonal subject. I have had a kindly feeling, a friendly feeling, a cousinly feeling toward simplified spelling, from the beginning of the movement 3 years ago, but nothing more inflamed than that. It seemed to me to merely propose to substitute one inadequacy for another, a sort of patching and plugging poor old dental relics with cement and gold and porcelain paste. What was really needed was a new set of teeth. That is to say, a new alphabet. The heart of our trouble is with our foolish alphabet. It doesn't know how to spell, and can't be taught. And this it is like all other alphabets except one, the phonographic. This is the only competent alphabet in the world. It can spell, and correctly pronounce any word in our language. That admirable alphabet, that brilliant alphabet, that inspired alphabet, can be learned in an hour or two. In a week, the student can learn to write it with some little facility, and to read it with considerable ease. I know, for I saw it right in a public school in Nevada 45 years ago, and was so impressed by the incident, that it has remained in my memory ever since. I wish we could adopt it in place of our present written and printed character. I mean simply the alphabet. Simply the consonants and the vowels. I don't mean any reductions or abbreviations of them, such as the shorthand writer uses in order to get compression and speed. No, I would spell every word out. I will insert the alphabet here as I find it in Burns's phonic shorthand. Figure 1, it is arranged on the basis of Isaac Pitman's phonography. Isaac Pitman was the originator and father of scientific phonography. It is used throughout the globe. It was a memorable invention. He made it public 70-3 years ago. The firm of Isaac Pitman & Sons New York still exists, and they continue the master's work. What should we gain? First of all, we could spell definitely and correctly any word you please, just by the sound of it. We can't do that with our present alphabet. For instance, take a simple, everyday word thesis. If we tried to spell it by the sound of it, we should make it thesis, and be laughed at by every educated person. Secondly, we should gain in reduction of labor in writing. Simplified spelling makes valuable reductions in the case of several hundred words, but the new spelling must be learned. You can't spell them by the sound. You must get them out of the book. But even if we knew the simplified form for every word in the language, the phonographic alphabet would still beat the simplified speller hands down in the important matter of economy of labor. I will illustrate. Present form. Through, laugh, Highland. Simplified form. Through, laugh, Highland. Phonographic form. Figure 2. To write the word row, the pen has to make 21 strokes. To write the word row, then pen has to make 12 strokes, a good saving. To write that same word with the phonographic alphabet, the pen has to make only 3 strokes. To write the word ah, the pen has to make 14 strokes. To write half, the pen has to make the same number of strokes, no labor is saved to the penman. To write the same word with the phonographic alphabet, the pen has to make only 3 strokes. To write the word island, the pen has to make 22 strokes. To write eland, the pen has to make 18 strokes. To write that word with the phonographic alphabet, the pen has to make only 5 strokes. Figure 3, to write the words phonographic alphabet, the pen has to make 53 strokes. To write phonographic alphabet, the pen has to make 50 strokes. To the penman, the saving in labor is insignificant. To write that word with vowels, with the phonographic alphabet, the pen has to make only 17 strokes. Without the vowels, only 13 strokes. Figure 4, the vowels are hardly necessary, this time. We make 5 pen strokes in writing an M thus. Figure 5, a stroke down, a stroke up, a second stroke down, a second stroke up, a final stroke down. Total, 5. The phonographic alphabet accomplishes the M with a single stroke, a curve, like a parenthesis, that has come home drunk, and has fallen face down right at the front door, where everybody that goes along will see him and say, alas. When a written M is not the end of a word, but is otherwise located, it has to be connected with the next letter, and that requires another pen stroke, making 6 in all, before you get rid of that M. But never mind about the connecting strokes, let them go. Without counting them, the 26 letters of our alphabet consumed about 80 pen strokes for their construction, about 3 pen strokes per letter. It is 3 times the number required by the phonographic alphabet. It requires but 1 stroke for each letter. My writing gait is, well, I don't know what it is, but I will time myself and see. Result. It is 24 words per minute. I don't mean composing, I mean copying. There isn't any definite composing gait. Very well, my copying gait is 1,440 words per hour, say 1,500. If I could use the phonographic character with facility, I could do the 1,520 minutes. I could do 9 hours copying in 3 hours. I could do 3 years copying in 1 year. Also, if I had a typewriting machine with the phonographic alphabet on it, oh, the miracles I could do. I am not pretending to write that character well. I have never had a lesson, and I am copying the letters from the book. But I can accomplish my desire, at any rate, which is to make the reader get a good and clear idea of the advantage it would be to us if we could discard our present alphabet and put this better one in its place using it in books, newspapers, with the typewriter, and with the pen. Figure 6, Man Dog Horse. I think it is graceful and would look comely in print. And consider once more, I beg, what a labor saver it is. 10 pen strokes with the one system to convey those 3 words above, and 33 by the other. Figure 6, I mean, in some ways, not in all. I suppose I might go so far as to say in most ways, and be within the facts, but never mind, let it go at some. One of the ways in which it exercises this birthright is, as I think, continuing to use our laughable alphabet these 73 years, while there was a rational one at hand to be at for the taking. It has taken 500 years to simplify some of Chaucer's rotten spelling, if I may be allowed to use too frank a term as that, and it will take 500 years more to get our exasperating new simplified corruptions accepted and running smoothly. And we shan't be any better off then than we are now, for in that day we shall still have the privilege the simplifiers are exercising now. Anybody can change the spelling that wants to. But you can't change the phonographic spelling, there isn't any way. It will always follow the sound. If you want to change the spelling, you have to change the sound first. Mind, I myself am a simplified speller. I belong to that unhappy guild that is patiently and hopefully trying to reform our drunken old alphabet by reducing his whiskey. Well, it will improve him. When they get through, and have reformed him all they can by their system, he will be only half drunk. Above that condition their system can never lift him. There is no competent, and lasting, and real reform for him, but to take away his whiskey entirely, and fill up his jug with Pittman's wholesome and undiseased alphabet. One great drawback to simplified spelling is, that in print a simplified word looks so like the very nation. And when you bunch a whole squadron of the simplified together, the spectacle is very nearly unendurable. The drama of course come, when the public mobby expect to get reconciled to the bezer aspect of the simplified combinations, but if I may be allowed the expression, is it worth the wasted time? Figure 7. To see our letters put together in ways to which we are not accustomed offends the eye, and also takes the expression out of the words. Laon, Macduff, and damn be he who first cries hold, enough. It doesn't thrill you as it used to do. The simplifications have sucked the thrill all out of it. But a written character with which we are not acquainted does not offend us. Greek, Hebrew, Russian, Arabic, and the others, they have an interesting look, and we see beauty in them too. And this is true of hieroglyphics, as well. There is something pleasant and engaging about the mathematical signs, when we do not understand them. The mystery hidden in these things has a fascination for us. We can't come across a printed page of shorthand without being impressed by it, and wishing we could read it. Very well, what I am offering for acceptance and adopting is not shorthand, but longhand, written with the shorthand alphabet unreached. You can write 3 times as many words in a minute with it as you can write with our alphabet. And so, in a way, it is properly a shorthand. It has a pleasant look too. A beguiling look, an inviting look. I will write something in it, in my rude and untaught way. Figure 8, even when I do it, it comes out prettier than it does in simplified spelling. Yes, and in the simplified it costs 123 pen strokes to write it, whereas in the phonographic it costs only 29. Figure 9 is probably figure 10. Let us hope so, anyway. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.